Well, good morning. Lovely to see you. Very warm welcome to St. Phil Row. Welcome here, districts 1 to 7, a new combination of people together worshipping here. And also welcome if you're visiting with us this morning or if you're in a completely different district but you're just here with us. It's great to have you with us here this morning. And for all those who are joining with us online, you're very welcome as we come together to worship Jesus. In a moment or two, Ali Joe is going to lead us in our first part of our service, of our worship. But just a couple of things to say before she does. The first is just to note that I'm going to be away from Thursday for 9 days. So from Wednesday night, Thursday morning, I'll be away for 9 days. So next week, looking forward to David Timothy going to be leading and speaking here at next week's service. But also, if there's any pastoral emergency just while I'm away, do contact Alistair McCracken. His number's on the announcement sheet that's on the web, or you can find that from the church office. But do contact Alistair if there's any emergency while I'm away. And the second thing to say is when you go today, do take a chance to pick up a little produce from our community garden. It's been fruitful and things are growing. And Eleanor's been out there this morning, I think, already, and what's the term? Picked, reaped, plucked some things from the garden. So I think I can't see Eleanor at the moment. Eleanor, there's lettuce? Pak choy? Ooh, check us out. Pak choy, don't you know? And some other things. And in the table just outside that door at the back, I think some of those things will be out there, so do help yourself to a little bit of that and enjoy that for lunch on the way home. Ali Jo, thank you.
Thank you so much, Ben. So it's really lovely to be here to lead worship with you all this morning. First of all, I wonder how your week's been. I wonder if you have had an amazing week on the mountaintops and everything's been wonderful. Or maybe if you're like me, you're sort of watching everyone else wind down, but still plodding on through. Either way, no matter what your week has been like, it's led you here today in this service. And it's really lovely to be here another week worshiping in person. So we are going to sing two songs this morning. We are going to sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and then we're going to sing This Is Amazing Grace. And first of all, I would just love to pray with us all to introduce us. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for another week, Lord, however it's looked like for us, God. We're all here together now and able to worship together. And Lord, I just pray for the worship and the service, Lord, that you will just bless our hearts and that your spirit will move within us as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his word.
for us.
The reading is taken from Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day which has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen.
Thank you very much, Alison. So we are going to continue that theme of praise for God, and we're going to stand together and we're going to sing "How Great Is Our God." So maybe, like me, you've maybe heard this song over and over, but I would love this morning if you could just pretend you're hearing it for the first time and just let the words sink in as we sing "How Great Is Our God." So let's stand together.
Let all the earth reach your heart.
Amen.
Let's pray. How great is our God, Lord God, King of splendor. How worthy you are of our praise. Lord, we've sung of how at your voice darkness tries to hide. Lord, we've come to hear your voice, your words to us this morning. And we pray that we would hear them and experience them powerfully, that the darkness in us would be blown away, and that the light and the life of Christ may shine more deeply in us and through us. So, Lord, as we have delighted to praise you, make us attentive to your word now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Ali Joe, guys, thank you for leading us in our praise, our worship. And Alison, thanks for reading from Psalm 90. Now, the funny thing about Psalm 90 is that it's a song about coming home. Perhaps, I don't know, you've maybe heard other songs about coming home this week. Maybe you've, you know, read comments about it being the 11th of joy and anticipating another battle between home and Rome. Maybe you saw on the lectern this morning this. Come on, Italy. Hey, who? Maybe you've read It's Coming Rome. Well, whether it's true or not that it's coming home, Psalm 90 is a song that is profoundly true. And believe it or not, has been around longer and sung more by more people and will last out when other songs about coming home have long faded. It's a song, Psalm 90, credited to Moses. And if I summed it up in two words, it might be, come home. Or, if you like, go home. There we are. We're a minute into the sermon. I've made some references to football, and I've told you to go home. Now, of course, talking about going home, as this psalm does, isn't talking about our bricks and our mortar dwellings. However lovely they may be to spend time in, even if we've spent too much time in them recently. But home speaks of a place of identity, doesn't it? It expresses something of who we are, our home, something of security, of stability, a place of love and treasured memories, a place of hopes and dreams of what might happen in this home, a place of acceptance. In different and difficult places and situations, we may feel like strangers and aliens and uncomfortable, but at home, we fit right in. It's the place where things seem right and normal, where people are who particularly matter. As Moses urges us to come or to go home, if you like, the home that he's talking of, the place he urges us to find all of that wonderful stuff, is with God. Verse 1 says this, Lord, you have been our dwelling place, our refuge, our home in all generations. You know, Moses, however long ago he lived, was probably suffering from many of the things we suffer from. As he led Israel through the wilderness, and as they rebelled, and the short journey it should have been became 40 years, Moses, that great godly man, as the start of the psalm tells us, no doubt felt what many of us often feel, Maybe we feel today, maybe we're acutely aware of others feeling. Perhaps a sense of being disheartened by our sins or others' sins, people letting us down, feeling like we've let others down or let God down. Perhaps that feeling that things aren't going right, perhaps with broken relationships or work or pressure. Perhaps that feeling of being distant from God, uncertain about the future, feeling tossed up and down by recent experiences, or a sense of disconnect. Perhaps a real sense of suffering, feeling alone or weak or downhearted. Where do we want to go to when we feel uncomfortable or insecure or far away from where we want to be or should be? We want to be back home. There may be lots of places we go off to in reality or in our heads or on our phones to try and find comfort. But Moses is urging himself and us to go home to God. In that first verse, Moses recognizes that God has been the true home for his people throughout all generations. From the very beginning of time, when Adam and Eve knew the Lord walking in the Garden of Eden with them, making them feel at home, through the people of Israel, even when they wandered in the wilderness, and the early Christians scattered by persecution, to the picture at the end of the Bible in Revelation, when we will be with God in his new creation. The true home for humans across time and space has been God himself. Home's not ultimately a building or a piece of land, although they can be helpful in expressing that, can't they? A tabernacle or a temple or even a building or a home can give us some expression of togetherness and a sense of being at home with God. But as Moses himself warned the people then, when they were on the edge of Canaan, about to go into the land that they would call home and make their home there, he said, when the Lord your God brings you into that land he swore to your fathers, a land with large, flourishing cities that you didn't build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you didn't provide, wells that you didn't dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you didn't plant, then when you eat and you're satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Don't let the good homes or the good buildings, says Moses, the ones your God has given you, make you forget that he is what it's all about. It's in relationship with God we find identity and security in life. Being in God is the true place of love, the true place for all our future hopes and dreams. God's ways are the ones which are really right and normal and proper for humans. God is where we find our true family, our father, our sisters, and our brothers. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest, their home in you, said Augustine. And that's a truth seen and fulfilled in Jesus, as the New Testament often simply, frequently puts it. We are in Christ. We live in him and he lives in us. He's our home. We are at home in Jesus. So here Moses reminds us of the ongoing faithfulness of God, and he turns our minds and our hearts back again to recognizing our true home, our true place of security, which we know is revealed in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a very simple but very profound truth that Moses has for him and us to dwell on. What a wonderful message in all our ups and downs of life, even when we're having problems at home. Our true and lasting home, far better, far more meaningful than the lovely building we may live in, and always accessible, is Jesus Christ. Find your true home, your true identity in him today. But of course, a real home is also a place where people are honest with you and tell you things as they really are because they love you. They know the need to share with you some home truths. I wonder, have you ever been the giver or the receiver. I don't know which is worse, is it? Of a few home truths. Home truths are those basic but sometimes unwelcome facts that concern us. Things that aren't necessarily pleasant to hear or can be quite stark, but that we need to know. Knowing that our home is in Christ means there are some home truths to accept, which Moses goes on to remind us about. The first is this, that our time and our life are in God's hands, not ours. We are ultimately nothing and last very little time compared with the God who is everlasting, says Moses. He makes life and he brings it to an end. It's down to him. At home with God, we need to recognize that God is in control and he, rather than us, is the Lord of our lives. We may like to think that we're in control, but God says, no, listen, I'm the ruler. In the best possible sense, in my home, my way goes, my house, my rules. The second home truth that comes up here is that we, by rights, deserve God's justifiable anger. Moses recognizes that before God, our lives don't actually shape up. In God's light, our sinfulness has shown up. And the brokenness of the world and our individual lives, and the fact that things aren't right, either for us or in general, is because we all, as humans, have turned away from God and his ways. We've gone looking elsewhere for truth and identity and value and acceptance, all the stuff that we should find in God. Now, our particular suffering may not at all be our fault, yet in the bigger picture, Moses says none of us is innocent before God. And we may be hurt and frustrated and angry about certain things, and some may be justifiably. But most of all, God is justly angry because he did not make this wonderful world to be like it is, broken and selfish and unjust and ignorant of him. He didn't make us to kick against him. The home truth is to recognize humbly before God that all of us as humans bear responsibility for the way the world is. We deserve God's justified anger. Interestingly, though, in that really well-known story of the prodigal son, that son in his misery and his desire to return home accepted that he was not in control of his life as he thought he could be, and that he turned from his father, and he maybe deserved his father's anger and chastening. But in that story that Jesus tells about how things are, the homecoming is fantastic, isn't it? Because no matter what the son does deserve, the father rushes out. He forgives him. He blesses him instead, bringing him all the comforts of being back home. And in the same way, in this psalm, the music begins to change from that kind of somber home truth music to more upbeat, as the psalmist reflects that while sin and brokenness angers God, he is the one who can and who will and who does fix it, the one who can bring healing and wholeness and forgiveness and blessing into our lives. It's this reflection on who we are before the mighty and eternal God of justice, but also who we are as he delights ultimately in and through Jesus, who came to deal with our sin, in us being at home with him. It reminded me of another much more modern song. I don't know if you know it at all, it's by Casting Crowns, but it has these really appropriate words. Maybe you've sung it or heard it. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again?
Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I'm a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still, you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. So we face home truths, but we find home comfort. And Moses finishes the song with six verses listing blessings he finds as he finds his home in God. Now, when I go back on Thursday, when I go back to the home I grew up in, which is still the home my mum loves in, and we're heading back there on Thursday, I always do the same thing. It's a bit of a ritual within the first few hours I get there. I don't know if you can identify this, but I have to kind of go round every room in the house. I haven't been there in a while. I have to kind of go round and open the door and poke my head in and just wander around and see how all the rooms and the bedrooms are. Partly, I think it's just to check that everything's okay, nothing's changed, that Mum hasn't erased my childhood in any way. But maybe it's to be reminded also of that comfort and security of a home I've known. And it's a bit like Moses is looking to various rooms of blessing here in these final verses. He's looking to be reminded within the home that is God, and for God to renew him in all that he has in being at home with God. We know that what Moses asks for here, we can know fulfilled in Jesus. So perhaps when we look elsewhere for comfort, we forget all that we have in Jesus to live with him and for him. Very simply, we have God's wisdom to see life as he sees it, to know and see life the way God intends it to be. In inevitable times of suffering and stress and trial and temptation, we can ask with confidence, Lord, teach us, give us your wisdom, and know that he will give us that through the days he gives us. We have God's forgiveness and compassion in verse 13. Complete forgiveness. Moses asks in his sense of not knowing how he stands with God, how long will it be? God replies to that in Jesus, offering the complete assurance of sins forgiven. We have God's steadfast love to satisfy and rejoice in every day. The stability, the constancy, the assurance of purpose and meaning and joy, even though life has its ups and downs, we can reflect every morning on God's unending love. We have God's promise of renewal, turning our affliction into more than equal gladness. Jesus promises a future, something of which we can know now, but we will only fully know then, when trouble and affliction are replaced by gladness and joy. And in Jesus, it won't be even just as Moses asks for here, for as many days as we've suffered, but for many, many, infinitely many more. Our comparatively short lives of struggle will be replaced by an eternity of glory. We know God's power at work in our lives now. God at work changing us inside and out. Maybe God has worked a miracle of healing in us. Maybe glorious changes in our circumstances. Maybe unthinkable changes in our attitudes. Maybe miraculous strength and perseverance in our discipleship. What's your testimony of God at work in you? What great stories have you heard? We know God's power at work in us and others. And lastly, we can know God's value, the favor and value of God in our lives and what we do. At home with Jesus, we don't need to be concerned about our value or our worth as society and others sees it based on what we do or contribute. We know value because of what God has done for us in Christ. He establishes the work of our hands. We know that our work for him and our worship of him is of lasting value. So let's not go home today without appreciating our true home. Take a moment or two to reflect on home truths. Take time to explore the many rooms of home comfort and blessing that God gives us at home with him. Even more than it's coming home, make today about I'm coming home. Joyfully renewing our identity and our hope in Jesus. His truth and his lordship, his ways in our life, and trusting him for forgiveness, wisdom, love, hope, renewal, power, and blessing. Come home with God. Take a moment or two to reflect on that, and then Ruth will come and lead us in our prayers.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Forgive us, Lord, as individuals and as a church and as a nation, when we continue to find our identity in anything other than you. We thank you, Lord, that you accept, you make room for us just as we are, as you have done through the generations. And as we reflect on finding our identity and our home, our place of safety in you and in you alone, we can't help but think of the historic divisions that characterize and have characterized for so many generations our city and our country. And Lord, even today, as communities prepare this evening to light bonfires, we pray for calm. We pray for a peaceful night. And we think particularly of those areas, in interface areas, where there has been particular sectarian tension over the past weeks and months. We pray for community leaders, for church leaders, and for youth workers who will tonight and this afternoon be out on the streets. Give them courage, wisdom, and insight as they bring their influence to bear. And particularly we pray for Bethany McLoone and for Andy Bill, two members of our church family, in their roles as youth workers for the Education Authority. Thank you for their commitment to young people across Belfast and beyond. And give them strength and passion in all their interactions with young people and their communities. And we thank you too this morning for David and Pamela Dixon leading Shankill Community Fellowship, where our Exodus teams are, even just now, completing their work, their full week of mission and service. We thank you for David and Pamela's vision and for their commitment to seeing your kingdom grow on the Shankill Road. And we thank you for all those who have come to faith through their faithful witness in recent years. And we pray for all the children and young people, parents and older folks that the team has been in contact with this past week. We pray for the protection of those children and young people, particularly today, on the streets of the Shankill Road. Lord, you know each of them by name. You know their hopes and their fears and their circumstances. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that the things that they saw and heard and experienced this week would stay with them, and that you would continue to work in their hearts and in their minds and in their daily circumstances through the witness of your church. And we pray the same for the children and young people and the parents who will come through the various SISM groups at the end of the month. We pray for Amy and for all the team leaders and all who will be involved. And we pray too for the practical arrangements in this year, particularly for SISM. We pray for good weather so that activities can be outside and that all can feel safe as they gather. Lord God, you know what lies ahead when we feel the future seems uncertain. And we pray too for this, our church. We thank you for those who have gone before us, those previous generations over these 61 years, for all who have found their dwelling place in you. And we pray that you would continue to use us, your people here, to reach into the homes and the streets that surround us. Show us, Lord, how to build bridges and make connections with our neighbours. And Lord, even this morning as we gather the vegetables, we thank you for the community garden. And we pray that you would help us to find ways to use it and other things to make those connections with our neighbours. And Lord, from this place where we have freedom to share the good news with those around us, we pray for our brothers and sisters in India, and particularly those who came to faith from Hindu backgrounds and who face unimaginable opposition, violence, and attacks. Who find it difficult even to find help and sanctuary. Lord, be their dwelling place today. Provide for them through your people in the places where they are. We think particularly of Open Doors partners and others working in India. Bless them for their faithfulness to you and to the gospel in spite of their great suffering. Lord Jesus, may your deeds be shown to them, your servants, and your splendor to their children. And Lord, as we close, as we think of our brothers and sisters in India, on the Shankill Road, of the families that will join us and our neighbouring churches through SISM, for our own church family, for people right across the city of Belfast this afternoon and into tonight and the early hours of tomorrow morning, we return to the words, the final words of Psalm 90, and we make these a prayer for us and for all the people that we commit into your hands. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have been seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us and for all of those whom we pray. Establish the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ruth, for leading us. We're going to close as we sing, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided. So we say that the words of benediction aren't an ending so much as a sending, sending us home to go and get on with the rest of our lives, but sending us home with God to live those lives for him. So we return again to the last verse of Psalm 90. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn